Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ. And our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Our guest speaker today is Dr. Joel Bennett, PhD, whom I already had privilege of knowing him through my work at Institute of Coaching in our Leadership and Spirituality group. Joel Bennett is the president of Organizational Wellness and Learning System, abbreviated for OWLS, a consulting firm that specializes in evidence-based wellness and e-learning technologies to promote organizational health and employee well-being. Dr. Bennett was delivered stress management programming in 1985, and OWLS program have since reached over 250,000 workers across the United States and internationally. This includes through the efforts of over 1,000 facilitators, coaches who have been trained in OWLS evidence-informed curriculum, as well as consulting in South Africa, Italy, and Brazil. OWLS consults on integral organizational wellness approaches that combine leadership, team, and peer-to-peer strategies, nudging the true culture of health. Joel is the author of 50 peer-reviewed research articles and chapters, and has authored and co-authored 9 books, including Quest of Presence, Raw Coping Power, Heart-Centered Leadership, Time and Intimacy, and Preventing Workplace Substance Abuse, and Wellbeing Champions, a competency-based guidebook, and of course, Your Best Self at Work. In 2008, he was acknowledged with the Service Leadership Award from the National Wellness Institute, while he has served in the board of directors from 2015 to 18 as well. In 2022, he received William Ball Lifetime Achievement Award for for his work, and he also received another award from Positive Leadership Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Joel. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally got together.
Yes, we finally did. And I guess it wasn't time. So I believe that whenever it's time, the universe make it happen. So, and I usually ask my speaker, Joel, that how do they like the board or our listeners know them or remember about them personally or professionally?
I originally wanted to be a Starfleet commander. And unfortunately, they took James Kirk on the USS Enterprise instead of me. And so now, as a grandfather, my grandchildren call me Obi, O-B-I-I, Obi.
Okay.
So it's sort of like, I think that's a step up.
Yeah, is an upgrade.
I think that's the best way people can remember me.
That's so wonderful. And I know personally know you as a wonderful human being. So I'm really, really, really grateful for extensive work that you have done on spirituality in workplace. My first question from you is going back to your, as I mentioned, to your work and your writing about the integration of spirituality and well-being in the workplace, which is my passion as well for the healthcare system, but not just per se for that. But how do you define spirituality in this context? And how can you move beyond personal belief to become, to make spirituality a shared value in an organizational culture?
Wow. I mean, because I'm a researcher, I will say at the beginning, there's no one answer to that. So anything I could say here and would refer anybody to the research literature, just, you know, search spirituality at work. I will say that our research, we just actually presented our research at the Work Stress and Health Conference on the topic of spirituality at work.
Wonderful. And
so I will share with you how we operationalized that in that particular study, because it's more concrete and operational. Sometimes with spirituality, it can get pretty vague, and everybody has their own interpretation of it, which is actually good. I mean, one of my favorite quotes from Saint Teresa is that she says something like, "Far be it from me," and this is Saint Teresa, "far be it from me to teach others in the matter of spirituality when in fact I may have no idea what it is." So I think when it comes to spirituality, first and foremost, before I give you this definition, we have to always remain humble, because it's in the nature of the awesomeness of what it means to have a transcendental relationship with the cosmos, that we have to be humble. Hello, people. We are specks floating on a speck within a speck. Okay. Now that I've done that, there are three things. The first is presence. So instead of using the word spirituality, we, in our work with clients, we ask people, how present are you? How present do you feel? What allows you to be present? And what takes you away from being present? And we usually find that that's an easy way to get people to talk about spirituality without having to actually talk about it. The second thing we do is make a distinction between personal spirituality and workplace spirituality. And a lot of our work, as you know, is in the area of time pressure, experience of time. So a lot of this is in the context of that. So I know I'm giving a lot of background, but there are two things. How important is spirituality to you on a scale of 1 to 10? And then also, how often do you pray or meditate? Number one. Number two, when do you pray or meditate? Like once a day, once a week, whenever you want to. And then thirdly, do you or how often do you pray or meditate to relieve stress or unwind from work? So those are the questions that we ask to get at spirituality. And generally, every human being doesn't answer zero to all of them. I mean, we've never encountered anyone who said, spirituality is not important to me. I never pray or meditate. That's on the personal side. On the workplace side, we ask, how important or how important is work to the meaning of your life? How much is work meaningful to you and gives your life meaning? And this goes back to the groundbreaking book by Ian Mitroff and Denton, Corporate Audit, Spiritual Audit of Corporate America. They asked, how much can you express yourself at work? How much can you express your creativity, your humor, your emotions at work? And so all of those correlate with health and well-being, with actual less physical symptoms, and most importantly, they buffer against stress when there's time pressure. So we don't just look at spirituality for the sake of it. We look at it as a protective factor for employee health and well-being.
I see. I really like that you define the spirituality as presence, and to me, the presence is a kind of meditation as well. So being present at the same time is not just only being present physically, it's just being present and aligned with the consciousness. And I guess that's the definition to a spirituality. And also you categorize it to personal and organizational spirituality with the common ground for both, to me, is just bringing the meaning either in one personal individual life or to the workplace. There's this say that they say, do what you like what you do. And I guess that choosing a career, especially for the young generation, is just getting to this point that they need to choose what they like to do or do what they like. And I guess the spirituality and bringing the meaning to workplace is helping individuals to bring the meaning to whatever they are doing, even if they didn't like it at first place. So, and there may be a hidden calling for everyone in the role that they have. Not everyone is able to change their job or do exactly what they've had the passion for it at first place. I'm heading back and touching on your other book, An Invitation to Presence, so which is a reflective guide on the spiritual nature of the time and presence. And what is your definition of presence and time? I know I said mine, that is just being aligned with the conscious universe. And but what is your definition, and what do you consider it central to both coaching and spirituality at work? And if you can touch up on the challenges that we are facing for that and how we can overcome it.
Yeah, again, I don't want to be definitive around definitions here because so much has been talked about presence. So what I like to do, and we do this in book two in Quest for Presence, there's four books, five, but anyway, book two is on the soulful capacities, and presence is one soulful capacity. So, what I like to do instead is to come up with quotes or wisdom sayings. So, I'm going to instead answer the question by reading two quotations. The first is from Winnie the Pooh.
Wonderful.
Pooh asks, "What day is it?" Piglet squeaks, "It's today." "My favorite day," said Pooh. So that's one way to look at presents. Another one is from George Matthew Adams, who was a newspaper columnist. He said, "I say to myself that I shall try to make my life like an open fireplace so that people may be warmed and cheered by it and so go out themselves to warm and cheer." So those are just two quotes, right?
Yeah.
And I think, again, like with spirituality and having done hundreds and hundreds of meetings with people on the presence check-in, you have to find that sense within yourself about how you're connected to just being alive and
Yeah.
not being dead inside. And so, yeah, it's the it's the opposite of burnout. We talk about burnout. What's the opposite of burnout? Presence. We talk
Yeah.
about alienation. What's the opposite of alienation? Presence. We
Yeah.
talk about not engagement. What's the opposite of engagement? Presence. So
Yeah.
instead of focusing on the negative, you first have to just be present, show up, and engage.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't want to get into the academics of it,
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, thank you. And yeah, the presence and feeling ourselves, feeling our body, feeling our emotion, feeling where we are standing, internally and externally. I think that's when and where we feel the time. And as you mentioned, is the antidote to the burnout and many other things. Talking about the burnout and in a time that we are seeing the increasing burnout and disconnection, especially in the healthcare space. How do you see the spirituality is contributing to the collective human flourishing within teams, in a group setting, not just the individual wellness? And I'm referring that to your book and trying to touch up on all your books, that your best self at work, which is a practical guide to the enriched well-being and human flourishing. And I'm sure that you mentioned, and your goal on that was the heart-centered leadership, which I really love, everything that brings heart into it. So
Yeah, there's so much here. You know, what can I say? I think I want to come back to time pressure. You know, research, national study came out that showed that 40% of the US population experiences time pressure. It is the leading psychosocial risk for heart disease, low productivity, healthcare utilization, and all kinds of illness. And so, without guiding too much on that definition of time pressure, what we found in our research is that when people have a sense that work is meaningful, even if they're working in a high time pressured work environment, they're going to have significantly less illness symptoms than people who don't find that their work is meaningful.
Exactly.
And so on the team side, what we find is that that meaningfulness is significantly greater for those who have a connection to their coworkers, to their supervisor. They feel supported by their coworkers and their supervisor, and they know that they're contributing as part of the team. They have a place, if you will, within the interdependent framework of the team. They know that they're part of what makes everything run. And the supervisor is, you said heart-centered, the supervisor or manager or leader shows them that through virtue, through being open-minded with them, taking their perspective, themselves being humble, and also taking care of themselves physically, emotionally. That is, the ripple effect of a healthy manager is one of the most important and underestimated resources for health and well-being in the work setting.
Being a role model and an example, is contagious. So the value that they set up, even in the coaching industry. And I had a podcast last week with Dr. Coing from Duke University on that, as well on the Human Flourishing Project and how it helps for a human to flourish all their potentials and how coaches can be an example of it. And I guess the managers and the leaders are the same. So to set up an example of the values and bringing the meanings, to the teamwork and to collaboration. Going to your other book, The Raw Coping Power from the Stress to Thriving, you focus on helping individual move from the basic stress management to the deeper personal and spiritual resilience. Can you tell us a little bit more on that?
Well,
In abbreviation, your book in 5 minutes.
oh my gosh. So, there's so much there. So we do a tra we've trained almost 600 trainers in our resilience and thriving training program, and we do that through Wellness Alliance. And for people who are interested, I want to make sure they know that they can get trained to a lot of these concepts. We actually do train the trainer. So what I'll share there is we use this model called the secret, SECRET, the secret power of stress. And S stands for stress, E stands for evaluate. C stands for cope. I'm going to pause there before we go to the next part. That, what I just said, is the core cognitive behavioral framework of many evidence-based stress management programs, including mindfulness approaches. So it's stopping, pausing, evaluating, checking in with yourself. And what I've learned from delivering this program and working with trainers is the what we call early warning signs. What are you evaluating? You're evaluating your own triggered reactivity, your emotions. So we often say, how does your strain show up in your body? Does it physical? Is it emotional? Is it social? Is it cognitive, or is it spiritual? And or is it all of them? And I always give the example of me, and I don't mind, I know this is going to be out in the universe. I say, at home, the conversation with my wife goes like this. I'm not yelling at you. What are you talking about? I'm not raising my voice. And so that's grumpiness. And that's how strain usually shows up for me, is socially. And so fortunately, I have a built-in biofeedback system, because there's my wife there, But so, and then you have to cope. Then you have to choose a healthy coping. So that's the stress evaluate cope, the SEC, which means taking a second, taking a sec. The RET part, which is not built into the cognitive behavioral framework, but moves us more into the PERMA model, the positive psychology work, is resilience. There's the E. I always say, what do you think the E is? The second E. And then T is thrive. And so resilience, looked at from the perspective of SCC, is what we call the landing pad for stress, and is often seen in the context of trauma informed. Our work is thriving informed, meaning the T, the thriving in the future, is something that feeds back into our present, because we know that's where we want to go. We want to grow. So what allows us is the E, stress, evaluate, cope, resilient, evolve, personal evolution, thrive. And so that's our model, and that's what we teach in Raw Coping Power.
Wow, that's definitely a secret, and it's a gem that you dropped it here, and I really love it, the secret. So, and stands for stress evaluation, coping, and resilience, evolving, and the thrive. And thank you very much for that. And one more touch up on your other book, which is on the time and intimacy, and my favorite field of relational intelligence, because the relationship, I mean, is everywhere, is everything, and either at work, as you mentioned, at home. And thank you again for your vulnerability, you know, to reveal all your secrets. So. But here on the time and intimacy and your book on the science of personal relationships, let's talk about the spiritual and psychological dimensions of time and human connection, how time perception affects intimacy, mindfulness, and flourishing and relationship.
Wow, again, these are such. By the way, you're condensing, hundreds and hundreds of pages into this inner. So, and not just pages, I mean, all the work we've done. There's this.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal.
I always recommend that people go back and listen to the Carly Simon song. Carly Simon and Jacob Brackman. She wrote, or they wrote, they co-wrote the song, Haven't Got Time for the Pain.
Oh, so deep.
And in that song, if you listen to the lyrics, she says, I haven't got time for the pain, not since I've known you. And it sort of sums up everything because what does that mean? It means when we really get to know the other, the I and the thou, whether it's the spiritual guide, there's a recognition that life is too precious. And I'm going to do everything I can to not spend my time struggling. And so intimacy is one of the most stigmatized topics in organizational life. I've had so many people tell me, you can't talk about intimacy in the workplace because in our culture, it gets eroticized. And in fact, that's part of the oppressive norm. In the US culture, it's like, and now everything that's happening in the United States is actually a direct function of avoidance of intimacy. And so, because it's become eroticized and because so what is intimacy? Again, another big thing. So, I will say, again, I try to come up with simple things. So, in the 12-step movement in the self-help movement, there's this, kind of like cliched saying, into me, see, which is, I'm gonna take care of myself. I'm gonna put the mask on myself before I can get involved with anybody else because I'm not gonna be able to be a good partner if I don't have good self-care. But there's also in time I see, which is what we're talking about here in the Carly Simon song, that with patience, with nurturing, with presence, with being a good person, you eventually start to see your purpose, your destiny, your cause, your calling, and that roots you in a spirituality. And so there's more to it. There's in time matesy, there's into my sea, but it's the idea of intimacy is that it's like a melody. It manifests in different levels of life. And unfortunately, because it's gotten so sexualized, we miss out. But if you look at all the spiritual literature, you read Rumi, you read Hafez, it's all about intimacy.
It's about love. It's about love. And I think that the leadership also is friendship too. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, these vocabularies, the spirituality, the intimacy, there sounds like a taboo in organization. And it's wonderful that you have been able to give it a new version of it so it doesn't scare people away. And we have a lot of conflict management, in the workplace. And I guess that's intimacy. So when you don't have conflict, then you're intimate with your coworker.
Yeah, let me say something about it because I want it to be very practical. Fortunately, with Zoom, I can put people into breakout rooms and pair them up. And what we do almost every time we do any workshop or training is we pair people up and we give them instructions on how to really listen to each other. And I just did this last night, and when they come back, I think we had 18 people and they come back. So there's like nine pairs of people, right? And we usually do it randomly and they come back. And every time people go, I just made a new friend. We exchanged phone numbers. I can't wait for us to follow up.
I see.
It's people just are not slowing down enough. It doesn't take much.
And I guess it goes that at the end of the day to the loneliness, and especially the fact that this has been exaggerated or aggravated after the pandemic, and people got to a lonely period of being alone, and it kind of continued with the meetings, and a relationship changing to the Zoom version, which, as you mentioned, it has many positive sides, but also some other, negative side as well, that people are staying away from their physical presence and feeling their each other's, energy, and having a direct relationship with them. But I see that, that how important it is, to share and to as you mentioned, to be involved with others in every level or in any way that we can be, as humans are social, creatures. And we have a lot, we have covered a lot, and I'm sure there is a lot still left to talk about. Maybe we can come back for another part, sometimes in the future. But
I love that.
as
I love that. Thank you.
so digging deeper to that, and but the final recap. So as a resource, just how does your previous research and work on the workplace mental health and the healthy leadership or on intimacy or on everything else that you have done, you think we can offer to our audience as a reference? And if you have anything, word of wisdom at the end for our audience, to have and to take it with themselves.
Well, do you want me to tell them how to reach me, or just kind of like a kind of a synopsis of advice, or?
Maybe both. Maybe both. So why not? We still have time for that. So you can offer some resources, on your research and work, how they can read and know more about you, and also if you're available for our listeners, to reach out directly to you as well.
Yeah, sure. So on the presence side, we have our presencequest.life website, which links you to podcasts and tools you can get, and access the books, including you mentioned the Connoisseur of Time, which is available on audiobook as well. And we do workshops. We love to do that, both virtual and in person. And that really is about transforming our relationship to time. And then on the workplace side, more specifically, organizationalwellness.com, where people can get all kinds of materials and find out about upcoming events and connect with me or my team. We do a lot of consulting, and we're, right now and for a while, we've been working with the SAFE project to do veteran wellness. So
I love that.
if you're a veteran or a military connected family member, we're going around the country doing a lot for veterans these days. So, everything we talked about, we're bringing to help, veterans. So, those are just some examples. And, I think the number one thing is to remember that we're not alone, right? That the fundament, the fundament, the separateness is the fundamental delusion. And that's not my quote. And, your work, with this podcast and the other work you're doing, I think, you yourself, and the next interview, I'm going to interview you because
Wonderful.
you're doing a lot to help people overcome that delusion.
Thank you very much. Goodbye to our listeners, and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.